Welcome to this anointed message taught by Pastor Lynn Schall of Amazing Grace Fellowship. We believe your life will be enriched by hearing the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God. Here's Pastor Lynn.
We talked about Paul's thorn in the flesh a bit, and I purposefully left people hanging. Everybody was just wanting me to just come down on what is it? What is that thorn in the flesh? And everybody seems to be so fixated on what that is in the body of Christ over all these years. And so what we talked about is Paul going to the Lord and three times asking the Lord to remove that thorn in the flesh, to which the Lord responded, "My grace is sufficient for you." So we tackled that, just the grace part. And this Wednesday night, there's been so much reaction that's been kind of not negative reaction, but just reaction of, could you just delve into that a little bit further? So I'm gonna, if you want to know definitively what Paul's thorn in the flesh is, I have the answer. No, I am gonna go into it a little bit more in depth and maybe not be quite so specifically ambiguous. So that's what we're gonna look at this Wednesday night. Still, the scripture, "My grace is sufficient for thee," is really powerful. Well, here's what we've looked at least whether it's been communicated clearly this way or not, in my mind, here's what we've looked at. We've looked at the extension of God's grace, how God extended his grace to us. He freely gave it to us. And aren't you glad that it's a free gift? Aren't you glad that it's not based upon our merit? It's not based upon our performance. It's not based upon anything other than the love of God. The mercy of God and the love of God, I believe, is what caused God's motivation to extend grace to us. And I'm just so thankful for grace. Wow. So we've looked at that a little bit. Then last week, we talked about a little bit about the application of God's grace. Paul uses some phrases that I think is important for us to kind of look at and understand. He talks about this grace in which we stand. And see that you excel, or see that you abound in this grace also. And that tells me that there's a little bit of proactivity that we have to have on our part. In other words, grace, receiving the grace of God, isn't just a passive act on the life of the believer. That, you know, some get it and some don't. I think there's a part of it that at least Paul brings out that we can contend for it. Do you know what I mean by saying contend? That you go for it, that it's, you know, it's available, and that we can appropriate it. And how do we appropriate grace? The plane ticket. Faith. Isn't that right? Faith is how we appropriate it. You can't get on the plane of grace without buying a ticket. And that ticket, just to use a metaphor, that ticket is faith. And so today I want to look at using grace as a motivator. If I could say it this way, if I was going to title this sermon today, and I'm really not good at titling messages, but this would be to be graceful. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Be graceful." In other words, full of grace. So hopefully just that thing, "be graceful," conveys a bit of a message. Grace isn't just to impact me. Amen? It's not just to bless me. How many of you know that really is the lowest level of Christian living, is being blessed? Highest level of Christian living is to be a blessing. Okay, that went over well. Amen? Am I right or wrong? Really, the highest level of Christian living is to be a blessing. So, I want to look today at using grace to motivate us. Motivation is something that propels us to do something. And one of the things that we've seen when Paul talks about grace is the Apostle Paul talks about grace, and almost always when he does, there's an action that comes alongside of it somehow. The grace of God in our lives empowers us, enables us to do stuff. And I just think it's important for us to be graceful people of God. And when we understand that God's grace is not only his unmerited favor, but it is his ability extended our way where we have no ability, so that it enables us to do something, and I'm going to expand it further, that we couldn't normally do on our own. Are you with me? Okay. Then we can step out in areas that we normally couldn't or wouldn't step out in. So number one, if you're taking notes, grace can motivate us to live our Christian life in a way that's well-pleasing to God. Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, and 8. We haven't read all of those chapters. We've done one of them. But I encourage you to maybe spend a little time in your own personal study on those chapters, because grace is not a cover-up for our sin. Amen? In other words, Paul says it this way. Shall we just sin so that grace can abound? And of course, the answer to that is a very obvious no. So grace, the grace of God really can motivate us to live a Christian life in a way that it brings honor and glory to God. Amen? So how do we do that? Well, that's an active process. First of all, we actively seek to be close to God. We actively seek to be intimate with God. And then we depend upon His grace. And listen, has there ever been areas in your life that in and of yourself, you just can't seem to get on top of? Every one of us have something. There's something in our lives that maybe we would say it this way. Everybody kind of has an Achilles heel. Something that just kind of sabotages us. Well, you know what? The grace of God can step in and allow us, help us, empower us, give us the oomph to get over the top of the hill, if I could say it that way, of those things, because it's His ability extended our way where we, in our normal strength, we wouldn't have it. And I don't know about you, but I need the strength of God, His grace, to live a godly Christian life. Amen? Because there's just times things happen in life that if you just want to react in the flesh, how many of you know that's not going to lead to a good end? Isn't that right? So, depend upon, actively appropriate, buy a ticket. Amen? Buy a ticket on that grace plane that says love the unlovable in your life. Anybody have unlovables in your life? Or hard ones? Right? The grace of God, seriously, can help us not only act like we love them, but really love them. Any of you work for somebody that's just hard to work for? If they're here, don't say anything. Just look straight ahead. Right? And just kind of do that. Yeah, Farrell, just look straight ahead. Yeah, I saw that, Rick. That's good. Okay, two. Grace, being graceful, or the grace of God, I'm just trying to say it in ways that maybe we can grab a hold of, can motivate us to see others in a completely different light. So, sinner. When we look at sinners, when we look at those that don't know Christ, how should a graceful person look at them? Instead of looking at them, can't believe you're a sinner. Can't believe you don't believe in Christ. Can't believe you live the way you do. How many of you know a graceful person looks at someone that doesn't know Christ and go, you know what? But for the grace of God, go I. Amen? That we look at others and go, you know what? Man, if God hadn't changed my life, I would be no better. I'm no better than they are. We look at somebody that, you know, lives a life of hell, let's say. Because one of the things that I just think that the church as a whole can be better at is, we say we hate the sin, but love the sinner. But boy, it's really hard for the sinner to see the love. Isn't that right? And I understand that there's some things that just kind of are, and for each of us, if it's a different thing. There's some things that in our lives as Christians, when we see it in somebody who's not a Christian, there are some things that are kind of despicable probably to all of us. Isn't that right? In my family that I grew up in, alcohol, not in my immediate family, but in my mom's extended family, alcohol destroyed our family. Just destroyed families in our life. And I have to admit, I have a pretty short patience fuse when it comes to alcohol. Because I just look at it and go, you know what? Somebody is not making you drink. You're doing that on purpose. Now I know that there's other stuff that goes into play and all of that, but there's things in our lives, and so you know what? When it comes for me, I'm just telling you me, when it comes for me of dealing with people that have alcohol problems, I'm just gonna tell you, it's one of the things that I really have to depend on the grace of God to put me in a spot that I can even be potentially a person in their life that can help them. Right? In one of my families, we went to 3 funerals. 4 funerals. Sorry. One, two, three, four funerals in 4 months, all alcohol related. Crazy. Within a family, and only then to hear the drunken dad of both families sit and curse God. Why would God take all these kids? And it's like, I had a belly full of it. I was, I think, 13. I just went over to him. I said, stood up. I said, you know what? Don't you ever talk about my God that way. I said, I'm going to tell you what took your kids. You taught them how to drink. Now, that probably didn't help. But, yeah, especially from a 13, little snot-nosed little whatever. Anyhow, so listen, being graceful just says, you know what? We're no better. Our value intrinsically to God is no better than somebody that doesn't know Christ. Is that right or wrong? Amen. So we can see each other in a different light. Being graceful says, let's open up ourselves. Let's make ourselves available to be able to show the love of God. Because one of the things that we have talked about in this that I just think really needs to be a point that we grab a hold of is this. People don't see your position in Christ. They see your practice. You know, they don't look at some of the theological parts of we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus and all that. They don't see that. They see how we act towards them. Grace can change that in our lives. Saint, if you're a Christian and you're dealing with another Christian, how many of you know that being graceful then will allow us to extend grace to one another just as God has extended His grace to us? Isn't it easy sometimes for Christians, what is it, the accusation that's made a lot of times about the body of Christ is we're the only ones that shoot our wounded? Graceful doesn't let that happen. Amen? Some of you, when I said what he said that, you're kind of looking at what does that mean? Sometimes when Christians are down, the idea is in that deal is that Christians are the only ones that shoot their wounded. Is that when Christians fail, sometimes we can have the letter of the law or we can be the big brother, right? And we can start pointing fingers. Well, you know better than that. Well, of course they know better than that, right? But being graceful allows us to extend grace to one another so that we just know this. Whenever I find myself wanting to point a finger, do you know the first thing? I've just conditioned myself to do this. Whenever I think about someone, it's like, man, why would they do that? They know better than that. I just instantly ask myself a question. Have you done that more than once? Maybe not the exact same thing, but have you had to go to God and ask forgiveness for the same thing more than once? And the answer is yes. And so being graceful just says, you know what? I'm going to extend grace because God has extended His grace for me over and over and over again. So who am I to not be graceful when I deal with my brother or sister in Christ? Amen? Okay. Third, grace will motivate you into a deeper appreciation and a deeper relationship with God. Or at least let me say this way. It has the potential to motivate that in our life. Grace is an act of mercy and kindness on the part of God to people who otherwise can't help themselves. So I don't know what that conjures up in your brain when I think about that, but I think about God's grace just in my life alone. And then if I extend it to my family, my wife and my children, you know, there's a lot of water that can run under the bridge of people's lives. And when I just stop and think about just in the Shaw family, just in specifically the Lynn Shaw family, I think about how many times we have seen the grace of God poured out in our lives. It just makes me think, how big is God that He can do that with every one of us to the exact degree that every one of us need? I don't know about you, but that's a person I want to get to know better. Amen? There was a guy at the Boise game last night that we were sitting by, and he had two precious little girls, and these little girls are just so sweet. And I was just telling him that, you know, we had girls, and I said, they just sure take my mind back to when my girls were little. And it got to the topic of when our second child came along, and I just told him, I said, you know, when Dorette was pregnant with our second child, I had a really difficult time because I really felt like that child was going to get gypped, that the love I felt for that first child, I just thought, there is no way that second child can get that same kind of love. And, you know, I don't know where this guy is with God or anything. He looked at me, he said, man, I had exactly the same issues. So anybody in here, guys, did you have those same issues at all? Oh, Rick back there going, nope, not me. I'm real spiritual. No. I did. I called my pastor. I spent a lot of time talking to a lot of guys that had more than one child. I said, am I just weird here? But I just feel like this little kid's going to be gypped because I love this first child so much. And all the guys I talked to that were honest said they felt the same way. And you know what? I was telling this guy, when that little child came, I said, it was just another whole truckload of the same type of love. And, you know, again, I don't know where he's from. I said, and what that made me think of God is how incredible God is. That he has that kind of love perfected for every man, woman, boy, or girl that's ever been born or ever will be born. I said, man, the God that I serve is so loving. Amen? Wow. So, grace can be a motivator for me and you into a deeper appreciation and relationship with God. 4, grace can motivate us to a thankful lifestyle. We sang a song today that I don't know where I came across it, but months ago I gave that song to Rob. I said, Rob, we got to sing this song. The song, Thanks Be to Our God. I still can't sing it. I've never been able to sing it through, ever. And the instant I heard it, I started crying. I can't sing that song all the way through. It just, what it conjures up in me with God, I'm just overwhelmed at God's goodness. Amen. And thankfulness is a motivation or a, not a motivation. Studies have been done that next to love, okay? Next to love, and these are secular studies, next to love, thankfulness is the most motivating emotion there is. To get somebody from a place of hurt to a place of health. Thanksgiving. If that person who's hurting will concentrate on being thankful, and think about the things in their lives. I guess maybe you could, that old song, count your blessings, name them one by one. If we can just begin to stop and think about that his unmerited favor, his ability has been extended our way. You know what? And we can then begin to respond back to God in thankfulness. I really am convinced in this, that much of our, if I could say it this way, maybe valleys in the Christian life can be minimized by us being just thankful to God. Amen? I've begun the last year or so. I've begun that when I use tools. Okay. I work with my hands a lot. And when something doesn't go right, I don't know about other guys, but it frustrates me. Okay. All the rest of you, are you with me? Okay. Finally, you're honest on that. It frustrates me, but I'm conditioning myself. That no matter what, I don't care how bad it is that it goes bad, I vocally, out loud, begin to thank God for what that tool, or what that, whatever it is, how much of a blessing it's been. I just begin to thank God. I say, Father, I'm just so thankful. And I say it out loud. Father, I'm so thankful. Here just a couple weeks ago, two of our riding lawnmowers broke. And I just thought, give me a break. And our yard was getting to the spot that we needed to swath it. And I wasn't happy about the thought of, oh, God, okay, gotta load these things up, get them taken in, da, da, da. And you know what? On the way in, I just begin to praise God, thinking, you know what? I don't have to mow by hand. Yeah, I don't have to mow at all. Dorette does. I just really seriously began to thank God and say, you know what, God? I'm glad that I'm taking a mower in, that I live in a nation that I can get a mower fixed relatively easy, relatively cheaply, and I'm going to have, in a few days, I'm going to have a mower to get back on again. It sent Dorette into the third heaven. No, do you know what I mean? Otherwise, what can we do? We go in, you know, when there are contrary things that happen in life, and that maybe is a trivial sort of an example, but thankfulness. Because you know what? God is the one that has blessed us with the ability to have whatever we have. Isn't that right? And so that more that, yeah, okay, it's made by man, so it's going to break down. It's not going to live forever. You know what? I just began to thank God that I had the ability. And then I began to thank God that, you know, thank God that I have a horse trailer that I can load that tractor in. Thank God that I don't have to call somebody else to help me with a trailer. You know what? For me, I don't know about anybody else, but for me, it just helps me get past the negative and to get back on track and go, you know what? God is just incredible. Thank you, Lord, that I have this, you know, whatever. Then I was thanking God yesterday that my wife got the lawn mowed. Let me just read how I wrote it. Grace will motivate you to a thankful lifestyle. We'd be stuck without God. With grace, we can go to marvelous places. Okay, 5. Grace can motivate us to serve not only God, but others. How important that is, right? Yes, last night we stopped on the way out of Boise to use the facilities. And on the way out, Dorette happened to notice a lady that was crying. So Dorette stopped and on her way in, stopped and took a little detour and spent 5 or 6 minutes with this lady and just was able to minister to her and pray with her. And I just thought, you know what? That's the grace of God. Amen? But you have to open yourself up to be graceful. Now there's a thought, right? We have to open up ourselves to be graceful, to say, God, I want to be graceful. Just as God showed His mercy and His grace our way, it's important for us. And listen, Dorette didn't have to extend grace to this person in terms of they did something that to Dorette, but grace can motivate you to not only serve God, but to serve others. To just say, you know what, there's a hurting person. Can we help that hurting person? Because we've hurt and God has helped us, or God has sent somebody to help us and to speak a word in season or whatever it may be. We can be full of God's grace so that we can operate in that same way, right? Aren't we supposed to be like God? Are we to be like God? Absolutely. We'll never attain that perfectly, but boy, let's just see how far we can go. He's full of grace. Never have we been hurting and we go to God that He just goes, you know what? Sorry, if you'd have been here 5 minutes earlier, I could have given you something. But you know what? You're just out of luck. I guess you just, until I can get, I'm kind of burnt out now. Until you can catch me on another day, you're just on your own for a little while. Aren't you glad that God's grace is always there? So, Pastor, are you saying that we can always be graceful? That's the goal to shoot for. Amen? That we can always be graceful. 6. Grace will motivate you to see things from a different perspective. We can look at a circumstance in a different light. How many of you have found this out? I don't know if it's just an age deal or not. But how many of you have, well, I won't ask it that way. I'll just again tell you where I'm coming from. When I was younger, I thought I had, in a lot of situations, you know, now I knew if somebody were to really pin me down and say, now, are you sure you have the proper perspective? I would probably say, well, I'm not 100% sure, but I sure hope so. But in practice, have you found yourself that maybe when you're younger, like me, that when you look at things from a certain perspective, you think you got it figured out. Only 2 or 3 years later, you look back on that same situation, and now all of a sudden your perspective changes. Well, of course, now that shouldn't be a no-brainer, because perspective does change. You're looking back instead of being in the present. But what it's done after a time, what it's done to me, is I'm not so quick to make a judgment call on a circumstance as maybe I used to. Are you with me? Because there are things that I looked at real time and had a call on in terms of what I was seeing that I look back later and go, man, what you thought was just junk right there, God was really using all along. The biggest example that I could use is that property across the street. Adrian was with us through that whole process. Man, at the time when we kind of ran into that brick wall with the city of Twin Falls and that residential group that hired a lawyer to
stop anything we wanted to do. I'm telling you, at the time, I thought I had the perspective figured out. This was an attack of Satan and And I'm not saying it necessarily wasn't, but my perspective at the time was whatever. And, you know, 10 or 12 months later, when we finally got something worked out, it turned out far better than we could have ever on our own. Huh, Adrian? When we had a group of people that, you know, 28 of them or something stood up and, you know, we're against da-da-da-da-da, and I was just devastated, and we had a bill of $1.25 million. We were paying $12,000 to $14,000 a month in interest, and I was just, oh, I was angry, I was sad, I was frustrated wasn't, you know, yeah. My frustration was with the capital letters. Thinking, you know, here we are spending $14,000 a month of God's people's money for nothing. And we've got a group that's, you know, trying to portray us like we're, you know, you'd think we're trying to put in porno shops. And I just, oh, just couldn't believe it. And, but all the stuff that we've wanted to do, school, Bible school, all the things down the road that we've wanted to do, those are hot topic issues. You bring those up to the city of Twin Falls Planning and Zoning. Boy, I'm going to tell you what, the brakes are going to go on. And I mean, the scrutiny glasses come out. And I mean, it's just like crazy. And for those 10 months, I was just beside myself of dumbfounded at how we could find ourselves here. And here, God, you provided this property for us. And now look at it. And we're spending all this money. Only to find out that then, you know, when it all turned, we had, I think, 32 people that was against us stand up. Now they're for us and used words that I'm like, where did they come up with those? I remember when they said, we are for all the campuses that they want to do. Afterwards, I asked Adrian and Mac, I said, who told them we wanted to do a school? Because we kept that on the down low. We just thought, you know what? Let's just get the approval for what we want to do church-wise, and then we'll catch our breath and tackle all the other stuff. And all these people, they were obviously schooled in saying whatever. And I just sat there. I can remember just thinking, ooh, my perspective may have been wrong all along. And when it got approved, guess what we got approved for? It's called a PUD, Planned Unit Development. We got approved. That property is approved for everything we want to do. Everything. And I'm going to tell you something, guys. It would have taken us longer than 10 months to get that approval for even one of those school type of deals, because those are hot topic deals. And I just look at it and go, you know what? Maybe, Lynn, don't just take your natural perspective as gospel right off the bat. Are you with me? So for me, I would have been a whole lot better. Now, maybe you didn't know this turmoil was going on the inside of me. In fact, I hope you didn't know that, for those of you who are around. But you know what? I'd have probably been a whole lot better off had I spent a lot more time depending on the grace of God. Are you with me? And, you know, as I've gotten older, I just realized this, that you know what? Just how I see a circumstance. You know, there's some circumstances that you can look at and you can make a good call on. But there's some things that we go through, that we find ourselves in, that, you know what? I think it would be better for us to depend upon the grace of God to get us through it, because it can change our perspective along the way. Amen? Okay, last point before we get ushers, if you wouldn't mind, start getting ready at least to celebrate communion here. The grace of God, His ability, His unmerited ability, can cause us. In fact, I think it's the thing. Capital T-H-E. It is the thing that can cause us to enter into the abundance of the Lord. If I would go back to the metaphor that I used, that grace is like an airplane, and you need to have a ticket to get on the airplane, and that ticket is obtained by faith. There's places that God wants us to go in our lives. You know, individual things of accomplishing what God wants us to do in life, right? You know, increasing our talents that God's given us. Every one of us in here are gifted of the Lord. Places in God, understanding, intimacy, worship, all sorts of stuff in God. That, guys, in and of ourselves, we can't just, if I could say it this way, We hold this treasure in an earthen vessel, and that earthen vessel can distract a whole lot. Are you with me? Has your earthen vessel ever distracted you? It's called the flesh. Distracted you from grabbing a hold of what God has for us. Every one of us in here battle it every day. I just believe that the grace of God is the thing that will cause us to enter into the abundant blessing of the Lord. Now, in that, I'm not saying that God will make you rich quick tomorrow. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about the abundance of the Lord that brings about what I would call true prosperity. And what I mean by that is not just the abundance of things. Because how many of you know God's not into us just having toys? Okay, if those things can serve a purpose, a redemptive purpose, I think God is more than willing to just bless us in whatever way. Are you with me? But the idea is to have just all the other stuff that I think true prosperity is. And that's peace of mind, right? That's peace in your soul. That's harmony in your home, your relationship, all those different things that I believe it's the grace of God. Because listen, we can't get those things on our own. The Bible says this, that the good and perfect gifts come down from God. In other words, we can't manufacture those things. We're not the ones that are able to create it. Only God is. Amen? And that's His grace. It's by His grace. This little sign right here, only by grace. You know, I don't know over the years what people have thought about that or even looked at it or even noticed that it was there. But I'll tell you what, every time I walk into this sanctuary, this is a phrase that hits me every time. It's only by the grace of God that we can do anything that we've done, that we can go to do things that we haven't done. Every time I come in here, honestly, I look at this. And when I see only by the grace of God, I'm reminded, you know what, Lynn? It's not about you and your ability. It's about God and His ability. Amen. Then when I think about His ability, how many of you know that His ability is tied to His will? And when I think about that, I just look at it and go, you know what? Wow. The grace of God can allow us to do things, to be things, to become things, to operate in, to get victory over things. The grace of God can do that in every one of our lives. So you know what? I just want to encourage you. Whatever you may be battling, understand this. The grace of God, we can stand in it. This grace in which we stand. I tell you what, I want to be in a spot that I'm surrounded by the grace of God. Because that's the only way that we can do anything. Because listen, our wisdom can only take us so far. Our strength can only take us so far. And for sure, we know this. Without God, we're no match. Amen? So, with that, let's get ready to celebrate communion. I do want to encourage you. It would be great to go through Romans 5, 6, 7, and 8 with you. Time just doesn't allow that, but I encourage you to read those chapters. They're incredible. The grace of God is just so powerful.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by Pastor Lynn Shaw of Amazing Grace Fellowship, Twin Falls, Idaho. We hope this teaching has inspired you with the word of truth, the reality of faith, and the message of the goodness of God.